We're turning back to 1 John, and here in chapter 4, he returns to this subject of Antichrist. He's already touched on it in chapter 2, that the Antichrist is coming, and there are already Antichrists coming in the walls of the church, so to speak. And here he returns to this subject. But specifically, he wants you to test the spirits, to know whether the people who are teaching, who are preaching in the church, are from God or are from the world. There is an article I read some time ago from the Smithsonian Magazine about the Roanoke Colony. If you've been out to Outer Banks, North Carolina, there's the Roanoke Colony on Roanoke Island. There was an early colony. I think it preceded the Jamestown by some years. And it was, I believe, an English colony that just was established and then completely disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to the settlers there. A ship went out for supplies. They were getting low on supplies. So the ship went out, and then when they came back, there was just nobody there. And it's been a mystery, and there have been people tried to figure it out what happened. And there was a breakthrough some years ago, and a man had found a gold button, and with I think it had a lion, or it was a ring, not a button. It was a ring, and he'd found a ring with a gold lion on it, and so then he took it to the jeweler, and it was some miles up the coast from the site of the Roanoke Island, and so then he had the jeweler look at it, and the jeweler said, "Yes, this is gold," and so they said, "This is a precious ring, and this is a family ring," and they attached it to one family that had gone to the Roanoke settlement, and so then the historians and people started thinking, okay, now we've got a track. They started up the coast, and they were going in this direction. So now we can kind of trace where this colony went. And they started hypothesizing and thinking of how this answered their questions. And it was all very good, and this was a wonderful clue, until somebody decided maybe we should take another look at that ring. And they took another look at it and actually tested it. It turned out to be brass. It was just a cheap bauble that had probably been mass-produced to trade with the natives. And it really had no value. And didn't tell them anything about the Roanoke colony. You see, it was when you don't test for authenticity, it can lead in all sorts of terrible directions. You have to test. You have to see whether it's the real deal before you follow after it. Here, John points to the spirits, the motivation, the hearts of the people who are teaching, and says, you have to test. You have to know whether this is the genuine article or whether this is an antichrist, whether this is a false teacher. So basically how he lays this section out, it's a little section here, 1 through 6, and how this is laid out is he gives you a test, and then he gives you an assurance, and then he gives you another test. And so we'll look at it in that order. So first, he has this test here. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not has come in the flesh is every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And so you see, it's a pretty simple test that he's saying, okay, we have those who say Jesus has come in the flesh and those who don't. It's a very simple test on the surface. In reality, it goes quite a bit deeper than just simply saying Jesus was a real man. because he says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And so there's more to it than Jesus just as a historical man. So this really it spoke directly to the heresy, and we've talked about this in the past, that the heresies that were in the church, possibly in Ephesus, that John is writing to, and he's attacking these, and said, these were ones that said Jesus had not come in the flesh. You remember the Greek philosophy that separated spirit in the spirit realm and the physical realm. The spirit realm is the only one that's capable of perfection. Physical realm is all the evil, the sin, everything. And so that's why the earth is evil. And so then for this group, for Jesus to come and take on human form would then make him evil. And so they had to then say Jesus did not come in the flesh. So they claimed him, they were okay with him being God, or at least a God, but not with coming in the flesh. So this was one of the false religions or false teachings that taught this in the early church became known as Docetism. Docetism from the Greek word dekeo, to seem. Jesus came and it seemed like he was a person. It seemed like, it appeared like he was crucified. But he couldn't take on flesh. He was just an apparition. It just appeared like he was in human flesh. And so this really it strikes directly at that. John just strikes at it and says, this is a spirit that's not from God. If you teach something, anything like this, is a spirit that's not from God. But it goes deeper than that. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. The ones who are from God confess Jesus Christ. Christ being a title. Not his last name, not a surname, but it's his title, Christ. It's in the Hebrew, it's the Messiah, the Anointed One. So this is Jesus as the Anointed One, Jesus as the Savior, Jesus, his special name, because he was named that because he will save his people from their sins. So just this name carries a lot with it. He's giving them a test. It says, if you accept Jesus as he presented himself in Scripture, as he presented himself to the eyewitnesses that the apostles were, that's the spirit that comes from God. You have to accept him as the apostles presented him, as he presented himself. Anything less than that is a spirit of Antichrist. Anything that tries to detract from Jesus Christ as the God-man, as God the Son come in the flesh, is something that is not only just an error, but is anti-Christ. It is against Christ. It strikes at the heart of Christianity. And so he says, you must test the spirits. See, we hear this a lot these days. We're not to judge. Christians are not to judge. We aren't to judge other people. Jesus said, don't judge. And that gets thrown around so much. It's kind of ad nauseum. You hear, do not judge. Jesus said, do not judge. Well, there are certain circumstances in which you're not to judge. We saw this morning the Pharisees and John's disciples who were judging by their own standards and condemning Jesus and his disciples' actions in feasting. That was wrong. They weren't judging by the Word of God. They weren't testing the spirits by the Word of God. Instead, they were creating their own standard. But here, you are specifically commanded to judge. You have to judge by the Word of God. You have to judge by what John is saying. John, who's presented himself as an eyewitness of the one who was from the beginning, the Word of life that had come. This is the heart of Christianity. Without Christ as the God-man, without Christ as the one who came, as being from the beginning, eternal God, having come in the flesh and suffered on behalf of man as a man, the gospel goes away. You lose it all. And there are these people that have gone into the world, that have gone into the church, and tried to undermine that gospel. John says, beware of them. Test the spirits. In Acts 17, the Berean Christians, they heard Paul's preaching, and they took it, and then they examined it against the scriptures. They looked at the scriptures to see if these things were so. And they rejoiced in Paul's teaching because these things were so. He was preaching the truth. But you must judge the teaching. You must examine the spirits, test the spirits. Jesus had said that there would be false teachers, that they would turn aside, Jesus said, if it were possible, even the elect. They will try to destroy the church. And this is one of the pivotal points at which doctrine has been attacked over and over and over. As we've recently used the definition of Chalcedon. I believe it was an evening worship, we recited that together as a confession of faith. And that was the result of hundreds of years of study, of carefully studying the Scripture. What does the Scripture say about Christ? How do we confess that Jesus is the Christ, that he has come in the flesh? And so then they came with this doctrine that's difficult to understand and hard to wrap your mind around, of the hypostatic union, that Jesus is one person, but he has two distinct natures. He is man and he is God. He is fully man with a man. He has as we confess, he has the soul of a man, a will of a man. And so we are able to see him as a man in the Scripture, as suffering as a man, praying as in his human nature, truly man, but yet truly God, eternal, from without beginning, without end, truly divine. And these two natures combined, not without any confusing of them, but coming together in one person forever. This is the testimony of every believer, that Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. This is something that the Scripture says can only be said really by and truly by a Christian. A Christian is the one who will say, Jesus is Lord. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are today many variations, many things that use the Bible or Christianity or facets of Christianity and still deny this basic teaching. The Mormons say that Jesus is the Son of God, or at least the Son of a God, and they call that God Heavenly Father. And the Jehovah's Witnesses say And Jesus is the firstborn of creation. Through him all things were made. They say they confess what the Bible teaches about him, that he's the first created being, that he's the first thing that Jehovah created. Jehovah created him, and then he created everything else. But see, it all goes against Jesus' teaching of himself and the apostles' witness of him. The Muslims even say that Jesus was a great prophet. They say that he walked the earth. They even say some of them will say that he was a greater prophet than Muhammad, and they will claim that Jesus he's coming to judge the world at the end of the world, that he will be the great judge. All these people that will openly admit that Jesus, or not just admit, but base their parts of their religion around Jesus having come in the flesh. So this test goes far beyond just simply saying that Jesus Christ was a historical man, because many people have said that. Even the liberals today, those liberal scholars, will say, well, yeah, we think Jesus was a historical figure. We just don't think that he was a man, or that he was God. We don't think that it's necessary to believe in him. So they will affirm Jesus as a human, but not as the Christ. Even the atheists. I listened to a lecture recently by an atheist, or part of a lecture. He was chiding the other atheists for denying Jesus as a historical figure, because he said it's just discredits atheism. There are so many sources that affirm Jesus Christ as a historical figure. Why would you deny that? It just makes you look ignorant. Don't deny that. Affirm it, and then do your atheist apologetics on other grounds. Deny him as God. But all of these things, all of these errors, they deny Jesus as the true God-man, Jesus as the Christ, come in the flesh. These are the spirits of Antichrist. But notice how here that how John is using Antichrist. You know, it's very popular to use and to study Antichrist, to think about Antichrist as a sort of an intriguing person that's going to come. If you can just decode the Bible, you have all these novels coming out and that try to decode where he's going to come from, what are going to be the circumstances, what the world's going to look like when Antichrist comes, when the beast of Revelation is here. But look how John uses it. John uses it to say the spirit of Antichrist is here right now. The spirit of Christ, Antichrist, is in the church. Beware. Look out for it. Jesus said it's coming. It's here. Just as he said. Be careful. Test the spirits. See whether they are from God. And this is part of the reason why it is a serious and weighty matter for someone to become a teacher and preacher in the church. James said on a similar vein, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. You should be praying for your leaders, praying for the preachers, praying for those who teach Sunday school. The ones who teach will have a greater weight. They teach as those who will give an account. You see, this is one of the reasons here, is because you will be judged on what you teach. And so you should be praying for the teachers, praying for the preachers, praying that they will maintain the pure doctrine, that they will hold steady, that they won't introduce error into the teaching of the church. And you should be studying the scriptures and studying and testing the spirits to see whether they match up. What does the scripture say? Does what is coming from this pulpit match up to what the scripture teaches? Test the spirits. Don't just trust that it's got the stamp of approval from presbytery, so this man isn't going to say anything that has error. Now, that's not to say that you should always have a spirit of criticism all the time, that it should be trying to nitpick through and find problems or potential problems. But you must be trying the spirits, seeing whether the teaching is biblical. But he doesn't just leave you with this Antichrist coming into the world. He doesn't just leave you with a test. He gives you an assurance. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He said, you are from God. You believe this. You believe in Jesus as the Christ coming in the flesh. You believe the testimony of the apostles. You are from God, and you have overcome this spirit of Antichrist. Yes, you must test, but you have overcome. This is the confidence that he talked about back in chapter 2 when he was talking to the little children and to the young men and to the fathers. He's telling them, you are, as believers, it is guaranteed that you overcome. If you belong to Christ, you will overcome. You have overcome. You think of the history. I was speaking of the definition of Chalcedon. And think of the history of the church. How many times have errors, Christological errors, errors about Christ, the divinity of Christ, or the humanity of Christ, how many times have those come up in the history of the church? And how many times has the church just simply honed and sharpened their theology by it? All those creeds that we use, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the definition of Chalcedon, the Westminster Confession, the catechisms, the Heidelberg Catechism, all those things that we use on a regular basis to remind ourselves of what Scripture teaches have come out of controversy. Those initial creeds that speak of Christ, who he is, who God is as Trinity, those have all come out of controversy. When heresy comes up, when people teach something that denies Christ, then the church gathers and God's people overcome. You are from God and have overcome them. Each of these times that things like this come up, the church comes through, pulls through. It's a testament to this assurance. You will overcome. The spirit of Antichrist, yes, it does come. You must test the spirits, but you do overcome. The church will continue. The church will maintain. There may be portions that break off and go in the wrong direction. And then you think of back in chapter 2 where he's speaking of those other antichrists who were among them, but they went out from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, and it might become plain that they all are not of us. You see, God's people, he maintains them. Jesus said that he wouldn't lose a single sheep, that all of his sheep he would keep, that no one would take them out of his hand. And so they will. They do overcome. They overcome in the face of lies and deceit that try to drive them away from Christ, that try to undermine Scripture, that try to undermine the testimony of who Christ is. The Holy Spirit within you, bearing witness of who Christ is, bearing witness of the testimony of Scripture. The Holy Spirit, He who is within you, is greater than he who is within the world. Who's within the world? Well, it's already differentiated. It's you've got the children of God and then the children of the devil. The devil and those who help him, the spirit of Antichrist, those that come as Antichrist, as allies of the devil, they all are trying to undermine what God is doing. They're trying to undermine the kingdom of God, God's worshipers, to get rid of them, to stop what God is doing. And through the preservation of the Holy Spirit, the church continues on. The good confession is still made. Through every attack of the devil, every assault of Antichrist, every seed of doubt, every assault of so-called scholarship, you are from God and you have overcome them. God is greater. He that abides in you is greater than he that is within the world. What can separate you from the love of God in Christ? Paul assures that nothing in heaven or earth can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus says to abide in him. Actually, let's turn there to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus is talking to the disciples. This is immediately before his arrest and trial. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So abide in Christ. There are powerful enemies. There are those who seek to undermine. There are those who seek to make Christianity seem absurd or boring or outdated, that it needs a makeover. It needs something new, something fresh, something more modern, something that isn't so antiquated. But he gives you this, he says, stick with this. This is the true gospel. This is where you stand. And then he gives this last test here in verse 5. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And just continuing on in what he said, if someone who is from God, in whom the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has been working, is going to hear the testimony of the apostles, is going to listen to this witness about him who was from the beginning, the Word of life, that he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the whole world. And all of these things that he has been teaching of how you must walk as he walked. You must obey his commandments. You must love one another. It says, the ones who have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the ones who are from God, that's what they're going to listen to. They're going to hear that and they're going to apply that. They're going to listen to this testimony of the apostles, to this testimony that John is bearing. They listen to us. But the other spirit, the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist, it's from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. There is plenty of this going on right now. All you have to do is turn on your TV. You can find plenty of teachers with a spirit of error. They are from the world, and the world is fine with them. The world listens to them. They say nice things that make you feel good about yourself. They don't call you to repentance. They don't call you to walk as Jesus walked. They don't call you to turn to Christ. They don't tell you that Christ is the only way of salvation. They're from the world, and the world listens to them. You see, Jesus Christ came. The Jews were seeking for signs, and the Greeks wanted wisdom. But Jesus Christ came, and he was a stumbling block. They couldn't get over who Christ is. They couldn't get over the teaching of the cross. It seemed like foolishness to the Gentiles. It was a stumbling block to the Jews. And so only those who have been moved by the Holy Spirit, only those who are from God will believe this, will stick with this simple truth. The other ones are easy to listen to. The other ones tickle the fancy and tickle the ears and give you a sense of religion. They scratch the itch. But they're of the world, the spirit of error. It says, whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So do you know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. They will not follow another. You see, that's what we confess about in the confession, what we say. We believe about the scripture. It has all sorts of evidences that prove it to be the word of God. The church can bear witness to the scripture and give a high and reverent esteem. The scriptures themselves evidence themselves to be the word of God, but it is only the Spirit of God that can convince a heart of man that this is the word of God. Only a sheep is going to hear the voice of the shepherd. So do you hear his voice? Can you tell the difference between the Spirit of God, the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error? And do you test the spirits? Do you test as you hear preaching, as you hear teaching? Do you discern? Are you listening? Are you watchful for the spirit of Antichrist creeping in? And do you take comfort in the knowledge that God will keep you? That you are overcoming. That if you are from God, that you do overcome. We should be watchful, but not fearful. We shouldn't be afraid or paranoid. But we should cling to Christ. Be like the Bereans. Be like the Bereans who went to the scripture. And they studied it. to know whether what Paul was saying was correct. Paul himself even told the Galatians, said, "You believe the gospel. If anyone teaches you anything different, an angel from heaven or Paul himself," he said, "let them be accursed, but don't believe them. You follow what the gospel that you've been taught." So John here, he says, you must test the spirits to know whether they are from God or whether they originate from the world, whether they originate from the devil. So like that brass ring that looked like it was a genuine artifact, something that was useful and valuable, but on closer inspection, it turned out to be worthless. You must test to know the spirits, whether they are genuine, whether they are worthwhile, whether they are the right spirit. Christ will be victorious. His church will continue. The church will not be overcome by the spirit of Antichrist. It will not be overcome by false teachers. So study to know the voice of Christ so that you can test the spirits accurately and not be drawn away in your affections, but instead grow in your love for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us, that you have given us ways to examine and to know whether a spirit is from you, whether a teaching is from you. We pray that you would help us to be discerning as we hear so many different things from so many different places, that you would help us to discern the truth from error. The spirit of truth from the spirit of error, the spirit that is from you, from the spirit of Antichrist. Lord, help us to be discerning. Give your church victory. Help it to stay strong in the face of error. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.